and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Lord, I ask blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. I'm going to continue on by God's grace in this subject of identification and focusing on the character, So we're talking about the identification of Christ, the identification of Jesus Christ and who he is, and looking at the character. So in verse 5, it's saying, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. So if we have the same mind as him, we will have the same characteristics as he had. And so in these scriptures, it just summarizes the characteristics again of who he was, lowly, humble, meek. And by God's grace, want to delve into a little bit more of those characteristics. Last time that we met, we talked about the rejection of the Spirit of Christ coming out from the believer, and how that Spirit projects a power or an atmosphere. And so Brother Branham in the message, Identification, talks about it and how one senses just the atmosphere around a person that has a Spirit of Christ projecting from them, if you all recall that. And so there's ones that, although they're good people, but they, but there's something about them, what they project is not the Spirit of Christ. But there are those that, you know, different bracket of society, as he mentions, but, you know, you sense there is something there. And so there is a difference. Now, it's not just about, even if we follow the message in a legalistic sense by just following things, I do this, I don't do that, it's not just that. It must be more than that. There must be a life that's projected from the individual. And that's a life that's handed down from Christ to the believer that therefore comes out. Now, if you just bear with me here for a second as I bring that portion, and then we'll continue on from there. Okay. Let's just start from here. And when we see these people today pertaining to be Christians and just living any way, what is it? It's a pay dust. There's a mother load somewhere. When we see somebody acting like they got the Holy Spirit when they haven't and living a different life, it's only a proof that there is a genuine mother load of the Holy Ghost that can be poured out, that can give the things that he promised. We must be very concerned and reverent. And so the tendency of this world and the American spirit is to joke around. You go around to people and everything's typically a joke or it's an entertainment type of thing. And it's very different than the way that God wants us to have our senses and our mentality is to be reverent and to be concerned. There's a message that Brother Branham preached. He cares, do you care? And convinced, and then concerned. And so as we live our Christian life, we need to be paying attention to the scriptures and taking it very seriously. And Brother Branham also talks about in his Christian walk, when he got to a certain point in 1962, that God wanted him to be even more sincere than he was. If you remember when the gift from the angel came to Brother Branham, it says, if you would be sincere, then God would do these different things and reveal these secrets of the heart. And so God wants us to be serious. God wants us to be sincere about him in our walk, in our relationship. He doesn't want us to just pass it on like something that's not that important. So somebody that really, truly believes that this is, or senses the gravity of Christ, they're serious about their walk with the Lord. And so we have to check ourselves sometimes And we know that the tendency of the world will sometimes grab a hold of us, grab a hold of our flesh, grab a hold of our thinking. And when we see us getting into that type of mindset that's not concerned, that's not reverent, then we've got to watch ourselves and check ourselves. Jesus, on his way up, the devil always doubted that being any more than a prophet. He didn't believe that he was Emmanuel, God manifested in his own son, him and his son being one. Why, he couldn't see that. How could God, the great creator, ever stand and let somebody tell him, well, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And so, you know, there is a mentality that even Satan took and said, Jesus Christ has to be this certain way. And he says, Satan kind of doubted that this was the Son of God, because why would he let himself be treated in this way? We know that Paul had the Spirit of God. And remember that Paul, he had the power demonstrated in his life. And at one time, there was the sorceress, and she was dealing with him in a way and bothering him. And then God gave him permission to cast out that spirit, right? And it was a spirit of divination. And so she was making money by that spirit, and they all got upset, the people that were making the money by that spirit. But God gave him permission, so he did that. He did other mighty works to prove that he was God in the face of the devil that was trying to face off with him. But we see that later in Paul's ministry, as we look in Timothy, and we look in the message that Brother Branham preached, present stage of my ministry, talking about Demas, we went through it one morning, but it shows that, you know, Paul was bothered by Alexander the coppersmith, and he let him hurt him. He, you know, Paul had an ailment. Paul did not have a cloak, and so these weaknesses that he saw seemingly in Paul's ministry turned Demas away. It said, loving this present world. So thinking in the ways of the world, that Demas turned away. So he was looking at big things. He was looking at, yes, the great power. Remember, God worked through Jesus' ministry and the prophet's ministry in such a way that there was mighty works. They're feeding the 5,000, you know, healing all these different people. But towards the end of Jesus' ministry and Paul's ministry, we saw it take a turn. And it had a humbleness about it. And it let seemingly the devil have his way with whether it was Paul or Jesus. And so at this time is when those who were carnally thinking or thinking in the world's way, then they turned away from the Spirit of Christ. And so that's when Paul's ministry was crowned. Yes. That's when Jesus' ministry was crowned. That's where his zenith was. It was at the seemingly the lowest point. And so we see that, again, the ways of God are very different than the ways that we think. And so it went over the top of the devil's head. It went over the top of the time Jesus was crucified. It went over the top when Demas, you know, being a make-believer, if you will take it that way, because he was among the group of the believers. He was with Paul. He was amongst the Spirit of Christ. But at the last point, he turned away. Now, he said, how could God, that great creator, ever stand and let somebody tell him, well, if you would be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread? And how could he in Pilate's courtyard, when they excuse the expression, but when the chips was down, as we would call it, and there he was with a rag around his face, and Roman soldiers spitting in his face and jerking the beard and the blood pouring through, and with a crown of thorns on his head and already beaten and his blood running freely down his sides, and Satan watching that, and then put a rag over his face, and the soldiers smote him on the head with a stick, then passed it one to another and said, now if you can see these visions, if you be a prophet, now you tell us who hit you. And he never opened his mouth, so they thought that Satan said that that can't be the Son of God. How smart he was, how he knew the scriptures, how he knew the message, but it just went right over the top of him. It was too humble for him. It just can't be. He wouldn't put up with that. But sons of God put up with anything as long as they know they're doing the will of God. So there is a time when the believer is to cast out devils. But there is a time when the believer must take the slap in the face. And the believer is led by the Spirit of God. So they that are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God gives the unction and gives the believer the understanding to know when is the will of God and how to walk. Because if it was meant that you could read these scriptures and message and learn and understand just by mere learning, then there would be no need for the Holy Ghost. And so we must have the Spirit of God in our lives to be able to discern. So it was at that time that God wanted Jesus to just take it and be quiet. He said, now with our message, can we stand by the looking glass of God's Word and see Christ reflect in our own lives then? Now, I want to read this from one of the other messages. I believe this one is from the Anointed Ones at the End Time. He says this. Talking about the unbelievers and the make-believers, he says, notice how bold these unbelievers are, or these make-believers or unbelievers. My, they're bold. Look, even as Satan stood right up in the presence of the true word and said, it's written. Is that right? So that would happen in the desert. Why did Satan do that? It's because he didn't know the word for that. He knew the word was for that hour. He had the knowledge that the word was for that hour, but he doubted this humble little man being that word. If thou be the Son of God, I know the Son of God is coming because it said he would do that. And it's written, he'll give his angels charge over thee. See, prove it to me. Do a miracle. Let me see you do it. See. So he couldn't believe, he just couldn't fathom that it was this humble man. Brothers and sisters, I believe as Jesus Christ patterned the life of God in his life or revealed the life of Christ, Paul did the same thing. Brother Branham did the same thing. If you notice towards the end of Brother Branham's ministry, similar to Paul, similar to Jesus, that it went into a humble stage of rejection, right? But we know that that became the zenith of his ministry, right? Because in the time that he was being rejected, and that's why he preached present stage of my ministry in 1962, because he saw everyone going away from him. And that's when God raised him up in the heavens, revealed the seven seals to him, and he brought that forth, which was a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so if they set the pattern, and we have the Spirit of Christ in us, the same pattern is set for you and I. And so that doesn't seem pleasant to us that we would undergo something like that, but that's the pattern of the Word. And now we're saying when we're going by the Word, we've got to see the characteristics or the identification of Christ. So look at the life and the very pattern of Christ. Now before the seals were open, before all these things were revealed, then we got bits and pieces, but he was displaying through the message of the hour, through the Spirit of Christ, what was that image of God. Now, I'm going to touch on a few scriptures, and I want to throw some things at you just for you to ponder. Because, you know, the Word of God, if we let it, it will move into our lives, not just through the body, not just through the spirit, but through the very soul of our lives. And if we let it to reach down and to search and to dig and to unravel or expose different areas of our life to help free us from those things, free us from misconceptions, free us from complexes, free us from things that were deep in our past and our lives as children that have hindered our walk. But it only happens when we open our heart to Him and are obedient to him and let that word just come in. Because when we hear the word of God and then we say, well, that doesn't apply to my life, then you're putting a block there, and then God cannot work in that area and to bring you healing. You understand? And so sometimes the tendency is for us to just have, and you know, it was good teaching when we were at the winter youth retreat. It was very deep. It's for the young adults, but it helped a lot for the older adults as well. But the brother was talking about going deep with the Lord. And we know the Spirit searches things of God, yea, the deep things of God, the Scripture says. And we know in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, the asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will tell what is our intentions, our motives. Amen. Our motives and objectives, we have to see what those are. Because if they're right, then God will continue to move us forward. But if they're not, God will not answer those prayers because they have the wrong motive. They have the wrong objective. If you remember the scripture in James, he says, you ask, but you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motivations. You ask for the wrong with the wrong objective. So the brother was bringing up the scripture. It says, even at times, you know, people can ask for the Holy Ghost with the wrong motivation. If you remember in the book of Acts, there was a man that wanted the Holy Ghost and he offered money for it. The wrong motivation, right? But if our motivation is not fear to go to hell, fear to miss the rapture, but is a genuine love for God, and we love the person of Christ, and we love his word, then that love, then God will continually draw us closer to him. Amen. Because that is the right motive and objective. Hallelujah. Now, when we look, so the characteristics, so we saw in Philippians chapter 2 that it talked about humbleness and obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. And we know that Jesus was obedient to the Father in every single way. He let the word come into his life. He let the word guide him even unto death. And we know that he did the Father's will. And we know that, you know, there was never a character like Jesus Christ. And so when we look in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love is patient, love is kind, suffereth long, endureth all things, these were manifested in the life of Jesus Christ. When we look at the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, patience, temperance, self-control. How many of us have a good handle on self-control? You know, if something bad happens, how do we react? But remember, Jesus showed the example. He was always in control no matter the situation. And we, as we get further in Christ and we have a deeper relationship with him, the less the things of the world, they bother us. The more that we have faith in the scriptures and what he's promised for us, so when we see these situations, we know that we are going to run through trials. We know that we're going to run through tests. We know that we're going to run through temptations. And when they arise, we know that God is letting those things happen for our good. If we've done the wrong thing, then we know that the scriptures apply that, you know, what we sow, we reap. If we're in the will of God and we're walking right with God and then we have these tests and trials, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And so that temperance, that self-control displays itself. If you remember the stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, power in their life. And we talked about the power that emanates from a believer's life. Temperance is controlling the tongue, self-control and controlling the tongue. Patience. How many of us have a lot of patience? Sometimes we want God to move on a situation and maybe he wants to take a year or two or maybe more. Maybe we have a prayer for a loved one that we want to come to the Lord, but God wants us to build our patience. And so the promise is there, but God wants us to wait for the promise. Abraham waited 25 years. Noah waited many, many years for the promise to take place. What about us when we have to wait for a month, 2 months? Then we get impatient and we think and we start to maybe lose hope. But, you know, the word of God is steadfast. If we've seen it in our lives prove itself over and over. So God wants us to sometimes to build that faith. And many of us can say through the trials and tests that we've gone through, it's really helped us to build our patience. Patience with others. Patience with different things and waiting for those things to happen. Now, when we look at there's seemingly many contradictions that we see in the scriptures. When I say seemingly contradictions. So when we look at the nature of Jesus Christ, we know that there's the letter that's in the scriptures. But do we know that there's many times that God seemingly overrides what is written in the letters? Can anybody raise their hand and say that they've seen that? Okay, so let's go back to the book of Genesis. We know that Adam and Eve, they were, you know, in that condition. They were sinless. They had perfect fellowship with God. But when sin came in, remember, Adam had not sinned, and Eve, she was deceived. She did not have a malicious intent in her heart, but she was simply deceived. And when she was deceived, then she went into sin. And Adam, seeing Eve in her condition, he could have said, because she committed adultery. Because remember, that's against the law of God. And remember, if you look in the scriptures in Deuteronomy and Numbers, what it says about adultery, that they would be stoned with stones. But what happened? Remember, Adam had the nature of Christ. Remember, he was in full connection with God. This was before he sinned. So at that time, even though the law was saying that she should die, she should be burned or something like that, Adam covered her. Grace came because he loved her, right? And so therefore, she was saved. And then Adam sinned. And what happened after Adam sinned? Then he got spiritual amnesia, we know, because one of the first things he did was shove off responsibility. He said, it was the woman that you gave to me. So you see, when we sin and we go outside of the word of God, how quickly that happens. And you look in through the scriptures, on down through different, you look at the different marriages, right? And so Moses married to an Ethiopian woman who is not one of the people of God. But yet Brother Branham says that that was God's choice. Remember when Miriam and Aaron spoke against, and then she got plagued with leprosy. But it says it was God's choice. Why was that? You look at, Rahab, the harlot. You look at Ruth. Remember what God's law said about marrying the Moabites because of what they did. But yet, God allowed Ruth to be married to Boaz, who was a Jew. Ruth, being a Moabite, entered that line, and she was actually in the line of Christ. How is that? Rahab, the same. She was a harlot. She was one of the people of the land that were to be destroyed as Israel came into the land. They were just supposed to clear out these people, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, all these sinful people. But letting Rahab, who was not a Jew, be married to a Jew and be in the lineage of Christ. We know that Rahab, she was a Gentile, but yet she heard a story. She heard what God did to the Egyptians. She heard the mighty works. And she, something inside of her said, this is right. And she got a revelation. And that revelation caused her to move with fear and then go to the spies and say, let me try to hide you. And I believe you're God. And so therefore, she was saved because of her faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But God, through his grace and mercy, saw her faith. And then brought her in and made her a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. We know that Moses' wife, she knew that their sons had to be circumcised. There was something in her that saw that. She had a revelation of that. We know that revelation is faith. We know that Ruth, she saw the God that was not of her people of the land. And therefore she said, your God shall be my God. I will be, you know, I will follow you wherever you go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so there is something in there. And God honored that faith, that revelation that she received. You know, if it was God, if God honored by good works, what about Abraham and Abimelech? So Abraham lies about his wife, Sarah, says, this is my sister, trying to deceive Abimelech. And then God, you know, gives a dream to Abimelech and says, you know, don't touch her. And then he says, you know, I won't destroy you. And he says, let my prophet pray for you. The liar. But that was God's mercy and grace and how he was the unconditional covenant that he had with Abraham. What else we saw in different places in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, what about the time when Jesus healed different people on the Sabbath? The Sabbath said to do this, but Jesus did that for a reason. What about the woman that was caught in adultery? See, he was showing his grace and mercy. What about the one man in the pool of Siloam? So you can go list on and on. And so there is a nature of Christ. There is a identification about him that we must be able to see, that nature. When we break that nature, then we're breaking the word. You understand what I'm saying? So it's deeper than what you see in the scriptures. It is identifying the person of Christ. Now it says here, now with our message, can we stand by the looking glass of God's word and see Christ reflect in our own lives then? Can we bear such and the reproach of the message that we're standing for here? Someone can say something about it and let you just don't open your mouth and say nothing about it. He was example because God was reflecting his character in him. And then if we're sons and daughters of God, God reflects his character in us. Then we become like him. That's my heart's desire. He says this, because you see now, we're going to another part of the scripture, but you see now why that man was more than just a teacher, as people say he is today, a philosopher talking about Jesus Christ, or a good man, or a prophet. He was Emmanuel. He was the Son of God, which is Jehovah God made manifest in his attributes of displaying himself in a body that he built himself. Amen. It reflected in the sinful nature of a man could not do the thing that he did, see? So it had to be God making and reflecting himself in the man, making a mirror, that we might see that perfect man, which is Christ. Yes. So remember how Brother Branham talks about knowing Christ is like putting the pieces of a puzzle together, and it's making a big type of picture or collage, right? And so you've got to put the pieces together correctly. And he mentioned some things. If you don't put them together correctly, then you'll have a mismatch. So, for example, something that's out of its nature, something that works differently than how it really is. So a cow usually eats grass from a big yard of grass, right? It doesn't eat grass off the top of a house. It doesn't eat grass off the top of a tree. It doesn't do those things. The nature of a cow And the way he operates is eating the grass off the ground. So if you move the cow in some other place and you see the misfit. Now remember, Brother Branham says, I may not know this Bible too well, right? But he knows the author real well. So it's not just learning the letters here, it is knowing the person of Christ and his nature. And so when we see that nature of Christ broken, then we know that something is out of cater and is outside of the word. So it's deeper than just letters, it is the nature of Christ. Remember, the word says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, right? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So there is no word spoken without a thought or an idea. And so that thought, that idea, that nature had to be there first in an idea or a thought or a nature before it be spoken. And then it comes a reality. And so when we hear the word spoken of, we're talking about the actual image of Christ. Now he says here, I'm going to try to hit a few points and then we'll have to close here on this one. But I believe you getting the picture. Amen. Some feedback there. It says, but by their fruits you shall know them. Your actions speak louder than what your confession proves. See? When you disbelieve God's word and count it as something gone by, or take some book and instead and saying, this is just as good as that, it goes to show that you're not a believer. That's right. You're not. And if you was, when you would believe God's word, he would express himself through his word. Now he was God's word expressed, and he said, now if you can't believe me, said, believe the works that I do, believe the actions that I do, believe when you see me, you see the word made manifest. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and that's the very thing that tells who I am. The scriptures tells what you are. Now, so how many believe that Jesus Christ in flesh was the interpretation of the scriptures or the revelation of God? We believe that. And so when it was in words or stories, then we had an idea. But when he actually came in flesh, then it was God himself revealed and shown to us. So if we are ever wondering, then we got an idea and said, that's who God is. I wondered about it when I read the scriptures, but now I know. And so the same thing with us, when we have the Spirit of Christ in us, and the only way we can have the Spirit of Christ is for us to die. We have to have a new birth. And so that life that was in Christ comes to us. It's not a reformation. It's not, okay, I'm going to do this and do this and do this. It's not that way. The life, very life, has to come through you, and then it eventually projects itself from you. And then you and I become the revelation of Jesus Christ. You and I become the interpretation of the scriptures. You and I become the fulfillment of the seals, if you will. Now, I'm going to read a couple more things, and then we'll close. He says this. We've got to take the entire full gospel. We must. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in his image, that we might reflect his presence. And the works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example and let our character be molded like his. What a thing, my. Then when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ. Mind, which is his character. Your mind makes your character. Let this mind that was Christ also be in you. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. Now how? So now, that word shapes your thinking. And as you remember, things are accepted in the mind. So as you begin to think that way, then these things connect. The mind and the soul begin to connect. And so that all becomes one thing. And so it all becomes Christ. And Christ is emanating from all parts of you, from the soul on out. But the mind, and so just thinking about, remember, we are children of God, that God is trying to raise us up into maturity. And so when we look at the children, typing in with children as we're training children, we try as parents to cultivate the mind. We try to shape the mind. You cannot leave children on their own to learn about God. You've got to continually cultivate their mind. You've got to speak to them about the Word of God. You've got to, when you see certain things in life, we've got to shape their thinking. We do this, and this is why we do it, because the Word of God says so, and it says it here. And then we're shaping the mind. So as their mind is shaped, when they come into situations, then they have the thinking of the Word. That's why we come to church. That's why we hear the Word, is to shape our minds and the thinking of our minds. That's why we read the Word daily, to shape our minds. And don't let it be something that we just see how many scriptures that we can read per day. I mean, although it's good to read in that way, but Lord, speak to me. Let me read a few verses here and meditate upon those verses. And Lord, speak to me. What are you saying? Because it does no good to just read it and you don't even know what you read. But you've got to get into the channel of the author who wrote that word and let him speak to you about those scriptures. He said, how can we have the mind of Christ that was in him and then deny the things that he commissioned us to do? How can we place miracles in the past when the very Christ himself was God and God in you, in the presence of God? There's always miracles. He said, you call me Lord. Why call you ye me Lord, and do not the things that I have commanded you to do, I laid out for you to do? Don't you see where we've gotten to, where the church is drifting? So remember, Jesus obeyed God in every form and fashion, right? And that's why we as parents, we've got to train our children in obedience. So doing the will. Susanna Wesley said, if you don't subdue the will, you're doing the work of the devil. Because you're teaching obedience so that as they grow older in Christ, it's not hard for them to walk in and obey the Lord. Right? But those who had an unruly life as they were young and were not taught obedience, they have a difficult time as believers. God has to take them through some very hard knocks to get them positioned so that they can obey. So, you know, even though their heart, you know, they've grabbed a hold of the Word, they've gone through a hard life as a Christian because God is taking them through different trials and tests and different things. So, you know, if we start when they're young, it does so much good in the future. Now, I'm going to read this last part here, and then we'll close. Talking about the nature. Thing I want to get to you is this, that a man that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. So now when we look at the things of God and we measure ourselves against that, if we're outside of that, then we've got to come closer to Christ, right? There's something that's wrong and we've got to change. And we've got to have God help us to change. And so we've got to continually look in the mirror of God's Word. Bear with the man when he's wrong. Long-suffering, gentle, patient. He's sweet, humble, faithful, filled with the Spirit. Never negative, always positive. So if you're negative about things And he talks about it here, all other places, critical about things. We've got to check our spirit. Because the Spirit of God is always positive. So if you catch yourself talking about certain things, complaining about certain things, you know, complaining about this person or this situation and things, we've got to be careful and say, up against the mirror of God's word, where am I at? He says this. We know that the proof of his love is election, that no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact they were chosen unto salvation. He can commit you to death, as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering, as he did Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign, but it is all with a purpose. He did not have a purpose, then he would be, if he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. And this is where faith comes in. So when we see things happen a certain way, then we get frustrated or we get all upset, then there's a lack of faith somewhere. Not we're condemned, but we have to check ourselves and we're not where we need to be in faith. And Lord, help my faith, right? Because he said that all things work together. Now he says his purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we would be made perfect, be established, strengthened and settled. As Job said, he puts strength in us, you see. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. So our character is perfected by the suffering. And so those who have been on this way for a while, is it a lot easier now than it was before with suffering and tests and trials? I can say undoubtedly yes. Even though the tests and trials may be even more difficult, but having the faith that God has proven has allowed just to say, Lord, I know this is for my good. And Lord, I know that you have something better for me in that. Because when you go through it, you say, Lord, you made me better than I was. Although it was painful, you made me better than I was. He says this. I'm going to have to skip a few things. It is not with money that God works. He moves by his spirit. And that moving of the spirit comes only to a life consecrated to the word. Now he says, talking about the Laodicean church age, he said, you'd better come before it's too late. Now he says, are we getting it? Listen to me. Naked physically, we came into the world, but naked spiritually, we will not leave it. Oh no, we are going to take something with us. What that something is all we can take with us, nothing less and nothing more. So we had better be real careful now to see that we take something that will make us right before God. So then what will we take with us? We will take our character, brother. That is what we will take with us. Now, what kind of character will you take with you? Will it be like his, whose character was molded by suffering in the fiery furnace of affliction? He said the word molds God's character to us. And what is the word? Is Christ. And so we want our minds shaped by that. We want, as we're going through the suffering and tests and trials, that the character that we are molded into is a characteristic of Christ. And we saw that when we look at Jesus, although there are powerful things that happened in his ministry, there are things that he spoke powerfully, so did Paul and all these people, but what was the character that he had? When he was beaten, how did he respond? You know, how was his love towards others, even though they had treated him bad? You know, something that I've heard or I've seen in the scriptures, and it just makes me wonder sometimes about the love of God when he says, when Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So were those people forgiven? It just makes me wonder, you know, the grace of God. Amen. How powerful. Amen. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given to us in this hour. Dear Lord, help us to clearly see who you are, O Father. Not the printed words, O Lord, but the character of Christ, O Lord. And let us be as Mary as we see the character of Christ, be it unto me according to thy word. We know that the road to this is not easy, O Lord Jesus. But Lord, we know that you have given to us everything that we have need of in our journey, O Lord. And Lord, you love us so much that you are looking at our good over what we may feel, O Father. Help us, dear Father. Help us to be obedient to you, O Lord Jesus, just as Christ was obedient up to the death of the cross. Lord Jesus, put away our thinking that pulls us away from the image of Christ, O Lord, you know, to accept everything that you have to say, O Lord. We know that sometimes things come from the pulpit that it's hard for us to take, but Lord Jesus, let us just have that open heart, that open mind to receive your word, O Lord Jesus, and say, Lord, help me. Lord, search me, try me, O Lord Jesus. Dig in, O Lord Jesus. I want everything scoured within me, O Lord Jesus. I want you to take everything that's not of you, O Lord Jesus, and let that word, that Spirit of God, move through every facet of my life, O Lord Jesus, and let not me hide anything. Let not hinder anything, O Lord. Search more my motives. Search my objectives, O Lord Jesus. Let them be true. Let them be sincere, O Lord Jesus. Let them be everything that you want them to be, O Father. Let us be open to correction. Let us be open to when you have called or exposed something in our life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all things. Bless the song service and the preaching of the word. We ask all these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.